so ashamed. This great country of ours, too. Clutches of these madmen who are running it now, these incompetents, sinister people like Karl Rove, Cheney. Two of the most awful people who have ever been involved in American government. That we've allowed that to happen in this country. We're better than that. And we're not. There are not enough of us willing and ready and able to stand up for what's right.
This is the Quality News Network. The top U.S. commander in Iraq, General David Petraeus, held a press conference at the Pentagon today. He stated that the Iraq war is, quote, the most complex and challenging I have ever seen. He added that the war may become worse before it gets better, and the endeavor will require an enormous commitment over time. The Senate has approved the $124 billion Iraq War funding bill that contains a troop withdrawal start date of October 1st. The Senate vote was 51 in favor to 46 opposed. A day ago, the House approved a similar spending bill with a timeline for U.S. troops to leave Iraq. President Bush has repeatedly insisted he will veto any spending bill that contains a timetable for a U.S. troop pullout. A spokesman for the Iraqi government criticized the congressional vote for sending the wrong signals. A senior U.S. officer in Iraq has been charged with aiding the enemy, according to the U.S. military. He is accused of providing an unmonitored cell phone to Iraqi detainees. Eight of the Democratic presidential hopefuls will debate tonight in South Carolina. Next week, the Republican presidential candidates will meet in California for their first debate. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice is signaling that she will not agree to the congressional subpoena to testify about discredited pre-war intelligence on Iraq. Russian President Vladimir Putin is indicating he will not run for a third term. In an address to the nation, though, he did not mention who he would like to see as his political successor. In Ankara, Turkey, there is progress reported in the meetings between European officials and Iranian representatives over Iran's failure to halt its uranium enrichment program as required by the United Nations. In Istanbul, an eight-story building collapsed today while workers were trying to demolish a building next door. Two people were pulled out of the rubble by rescuers. New Hampshire lawmakers passed legislation today that authorizes civil unions for gay couples. The state's governor has previously said he will sign the law. The Bush administration will extend $1 billion in housing aid to Hurricane Katrina and Rita victims. The federal housing aid had been scheduled to expire at the end of August, but will now be extended through March of 2009. And Texas lawmakers have prevented Governor Rick Perry from going ahead with his plan to require sixth graders to receive an anti-cervical cancer vaccine. This is QNN.
Huelhauser talks to customers of First National, South Valley, and San Benito Banks, local members of the network of preferred community banks.
We're here to talk with people about their business banking.
What are you looking for in your business bank?
Somebody that can offer me services such as car loans, equipment loans, leases, a line of credit.
And do you think because they're local, they understand your needs better than a bigger bank would?
Yes, I think they're really aware of the community and are here to help the small business people.
So it's a local bank with big bank services?
Absolutely. They're here on a regular basis to make sure if there's any other services they can provide, they're here to talk about it.
Now, it's a community bank, but it's part of a network of banks.
We searched out a bank that would have the flexibility and the understanding of our needs and a willingness to spend the time doing that.
Above and Beyond Banking from the network of preferred community banks, available locally at First National Bank of Central California, South Valley National Bank, and San Benito Bank.
Rupert Murdoch will introduce the popular social networking website MySpace.com to China, which has the world's fastest growing internet market. IBM mainframe computers will soon have the same video chip that powers the Sony PlayStation 3 video game console. It was jointly developed by IBM, Sony, and Toshiba. Japanese video game maker Nintendo reports strong sales of its popular Wii game machine, boosted its profits by 77% the latest fiscal year. The world's largest retailer, Walmart, will cut 1,000 management positions at its Sam's Club stores as part of a restructuring plan to improve customer service. Japanese Prime Minister is meeting with President Bush today and tomorrow to discuss trade. Ford Motor reports its seventh consecutive quarterly loss in a row. However, the latest amount narrowed to $282 million after thousands of jobs were eliminated and millions of dollars in spending were cut. And ExxonMobil released its first quarter earnings. The company's net income went up 10% to $9.3 billion for the period. Light Sweet Crude is trading at $65.06 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. And near the close of Wall Street today, the Dow Jones is in record territory once again, up 15 points, while the NASDAQ is up 7 and the S&P 500 down 1. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramoff.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good evening, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. You know, I never like to watch horror movies. Some of my friends like them. I don't really enjoy them. But my friends say that the reason they watch horror movies is because it gives a profound mix of both horror and amusement. And I will say to them, well, how can you have a mix of horror and amusement? I never understood that until I watched all 5 hours of Attorney General Gonzalez's testimony last Thursday. Now I understand how you can be simultaneously horrified and amused. Because some things were so bad that you just had to laugh. By now, of course, you know the controversy in which Attorney General Gonzalez is embroiled. He, of course, is in trouble because he has no idea what's going on in his department. He has no idea how 8 U.S. prosecutors were specifically chosen to be fired despite the fact that their performance was by all accounts some of the best in the nation. And despite the fact that, the Justice Department itself said it was for performance reasons. And despite the fact that virtually every one of them was busy prosecuting Republicans for corruption or being complained about for not prosecuting Democrats for corruption. It's all one big coincidence. Well, with the Democratic Congress, we have oversight. Yay! It's very good. And with our oversight, what we do is we find out what's going on. And so we got to his deputy, Kyle Sampson, who promptly resigned thereafter, who told us that Kyle Sampson said, well, he didn't know where the recommendations came from. His deputy is Monica Gooding. She declared the Fifth Amendment. She said that if she told the Congress where these things came from, she could be liable for criminal prosecution. So she pled the Fifth. Well, I guess that's possible under the Hatch Act. You're not allowed to use politics to dictate the choices of who are the United States prosecutors. They can be hired for any reason. But what they can't be done is fired in order to influence a particular case. She pled the Fifth. And actually, the Democrats, I think, did a smart thing in the House. They said, all right, we're going to give you a waiver. We promise we won't put you in jail, Monica Gooding, but you got to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Look forward to those hearings in May. And then there's Attorney General Gonzalez, Alberto Gonzalez. Now, Alberto Gonzalez, when he first was asked about these things, when he first was questioned about his role in this, well, he said the following. This is back just a month ago in early March.
Was not involved in seeing any memos, was not involved in any discussions about what was going on.
Okay, you got that? He was not involved in any memos, he was not involved in any discussions about what was going on. All right. Now, he came to change his view just a little bit later on in March. Let's listen to that.
Let me try to be more precise about my involvement. When I said on March 13th that I wasn't involved, what I meant was that I was not involved in the deliberations.
Oh, it's the deliberations. That's what he meant. Okay. So he wasn't involved in the deliberations. He wasn't involved at all. But at the end of the day, he comes out saying, you know what? I made the decision, and all these people were prosecuted, and it was done for good reason. Even though he has no idea why these people were chosen, and even though all of these people just coincidentally happen to be prosecuting Republicans, he has no idea why they're chosen, but it was all done for good reason. Well, to illustrate the inanity that is Attorney General Gonzalez, there's a nice montage put together by, The Daily Show. Let me play it for you. This is all, of course, testimony from the hearing last Thursday.
Whose idea was this?
Senator, I don't recall specifically.
I don't recall the content. Senator, I have no recollection.
I don't have any recollection.
I have searched my memory.
I don't recall remembering.
I can only testify as to what I recall.
Senator, I don't recall.
I don't recall.
I firmly believe that nothing improper occurred.
Got it? I don't recall. I don't know. I'm not sure. I have no recollection. I'm not sure about this. I firmly believe that nothing wrong occurred. Wow. It's really hard when you know nothing about a process to firmly believe nothing wrong occurred, but I guess that's the Kool-Aid they make you drink when you work for the Bush administration. Well, it wasn't just Democrats that gave him a hard time. I mean, I really want to recommend these 5 hours for everyone. You can go to C-SPAN, look up the attorney firings. I know that we're all busy people, but these are really 5 hours of horror, amusement, and really edification as to how the Bush administration works. So it's my high recommendation, even just to watch a little bit of it, get past the speeches and watch near the end as you watch Attorney General Gonzalez flounder. What's interesting is that it wasn't just the Democrats. In fact, every single Republican, with the possible exception of Orrin Hatch, who only said this was badly mismanaged, right? That's all he said. The rest he said was praise. Everyone else was much, much harsher on him. Even Republicans like conservative Senator Brownback of Kansas, the Christian rights support for him for president, I mean, this is the guy of the far religious right, was saying, okay, well, let's get the reasons out there. Why did you fire this guy? I don't know, Senator. Why did you fire this woman? I really don't know, Senator. And so Brownback is astonished. Well, then how do you know that it was right? Well, I have faith in the people who did it, sir. Well, who did it? I don't know, sir. I delegated it to Kyle Sampson, and Kyle Sampson delegated to someone else. Listen to this exchange between Attorney General Gonzalez and Jeff Sessions. Jeff Sessions is a conservative senator from Alabama, from probably one of the most conservative states in the United States. Listen to Jeff Sessions ask questions of Alberto Gonzalez.
Do you recall that meeting and where it took place?
My schedule shows a meeting for 9 o'clock on November 27th, but I have no recollection of that meeting.
This was not that long ago. This was in November of last year.
I don't recall the conversation. I don't recall whether or not I was present. I suspect I probably was.
Well, I guess I'm concerned about your recollection, really, because it's not that long ago.
So even the conservative Alabama senator is trying to understand why he can't even remember a meeting that took place November 27th, you know, just 4 or 5 months ago, the crucial meeting where he decided to fire these prosecutors. The first time that this number of prosecutors have been fired, and really that anyone can find in American history. I mean, at the beginning of each term, the president brings in a new slate. But in terms of the middle of a term, firing 8 prosecutors, this was unprecedented. Alberto Gonzalez cannot remember the meeting. So Senator Sessions asked him, well, what were you doing that day that you can't remember the meeting? And Gonzalez explains.
I went back and looked at my calendar for that week. I traveled to Mexico for the inauguration of the new president. We had National Meth Awareness Day.
So that's what it was. You know, there was a visit to Mexico and National Meth Awareness Day. And apparently both of those things were more important than remembering the firing of U.S. attorneys. Oh, we're going to talk about this, all this to go after Gonzalez, and I'm looking forward to this show. If you want to call in, ask a question, make a comment, you're always welcome to do so. The toll-free number is 877-4-HEAD-ON, 877-4-H-E-A-D-O-N. I hope to hear from you. We'll be right back after this.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network. What's a conversation like on Head On with Bob Kincaid? This is what it's like.
Let's go. Let's talk to our good friend Phil down in Daytona Beach, Florida. Hey, Phil, welcome to the program. Good to hear from you.
Thanks, Bob. Good to hear you, too. I want to remind people that the military take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. And when people say they're fighting for our freedom by defending the Constitution, which defines our freedoms and supposedly is there to protect them, that's what it really means. Not doing whatever this outrageous civilian leadership dictates that it does.
Head On with Bob Kincaid. Conversation at its finest. Weeknights, Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Only at Head On Radio Network and chat at headonradionetwork.com.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? If you did the unexpected? Would you feel scared? Proud? Relieved? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Or assisting an entrepreneur in Ukraine to launch her small business? Or creating a support group in Malawi for children orphaned by AIDS? What if you established your own path? One that others might follow? Would you rather make your own way? Or spend your life saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580. Or go to peacecorps.gov.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We're discussing Attorney General Gonzalez's disastrous appearance before the Senate Judiciary Committee. I have to say, I don't think Republicans thought he would do this bad. Actually, I don't even think Democrats thought he would do this bad. But Republicans seemed the most stunned. They were the ones walking out with their mouths open. I mean, take a look at Senator Arnold Specter. Now, Arnold Specter, prior to the hearing, said, I'm not going to say publicly whether or not I think he should resign. I mean, that's a step forward for Republicans who would generally say, you know, don't resign. He says, I'm not going to say before the hearing whether or not I think he should resign. Listen to this question. Remember, this is a friendly senator. Listen to this question and answer session between him and Alberto Gonzalez.
I had knowledge that there was a process going on.
Well, were you involved in it?
I was involved in the process, yes, sir.
Were you involved to a limited extent only?
Yes, sir.
In light of the fact that you had so little to do with the decisions and made so little effort to understand...
I had everything to do with the decision. It was my decision.
You don't recall the November 27 meeting where you made the decision?
Sir, I don't know that a decision was made at that meeting.
Well, how can you be sure you made the decision?
Senator, I recall making the decision for Miss. I recall making the decision.
When?
Sir, I don't recall when the decision was made.
Okay, that's also from the Daily Show. That's why the laughter's in the background. And I should mention that the last comment was answered by Pat Leahy. But you see the problem when you have Republicans that are coming out against him. Now, the president won't let mere facts get in the way. All right? Here's what the president said, again, courtesy of the Daily Show, what the president said about his confidence in Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez.
The Attorney General went up and gave a very candid assessment and answered every question he could possibly answer, honestly answer, in a way that increased my confidence in his ability to do the job.
It increased his confidence. That was good, Alberto Gonzalez. That increased his confidence. Well, what's interesting is when you have no less than the Dark Lord himself, Robert Novak, someone who is the president's toady, who is the Republicans, this is a guy owned by the Republican Party, lock, stock, and barrel. He wrote an editorial in today's Washington Post talking about Gonzalez's pathetic performance before the Senate Judiciary Committee. This is Bob Novak that talked about his pathetic performance. And here's what Bob Novak writes. Bush, never entranced with life in Washington, detests dealing with a Democratic Congress. Reflecting annoyance and fatigue, he's unwilling to withstand incessant attacks and is ready to fight it out for the over 20 months left in his term. Retaining Gonzalez, Novak writes, means Bush has slipped behind the barricade. Again, quoting from Novak, quote, all the Republicans in Congress whom I contacted view this as pure folly. He goes on to say that it's going to help the Democrats. And House GOP leader said, I cannot imagine how Bush thinks Gonzalez can function effectively with no Republican support. He goes on to say that no one respected Gonzalez from the beginning, from the first term, including Colin Powell, who wouldn't even talk with him. And there's a reason for that. Alberto Gonzalez doesn't think for himself. That's not his role. The president does not like people who think for themselves, with the exception of the twin guys in charge, Cheney and Rove. Other than those two, and I consider Rumsfeld a creature of Dick Cheney, other than those two, the president will not have independent thinking. Anyone who thinks independently will be kicked out. Bye-bye, Colin Powell. Bye-bye, Paul O'Neill. So he wants these toadies, people like Harriet Myers, people who will do whatever he says, and that's what Alberto Gonzalez is. Alberto, I need to torture some people. Yes, sir, Mr. President. Alberto, I need to ignore the Fourth Amendment and spy on 250 million Americans. Oh, no problem, Mr. President. Alberto, we need to put a bunch of Americans in jail without trial forever, without an attorney. Oh, okay. Yes, sir. We need to send people abroad to be tortured. Yes, sir, Mr. President. We need to hide people from the Red Cross in violation of Geneva Conventions. Oh, yes, sir, Mr. President. The Geneva Conventions, they're obsolete anyway. That's what he does. He is the presidential toady. So when it was astonishing and yet all too understandable. I mean, what could he say? What could he say? Prosecutors who just happened to be prosecuting Republicans, people like Carol Lamb, the highly, highly praised attorney, U.S. attorney in San Diego, California, the person who not only put away former Republican Congressman Randy Duke Cunningham, Mr. Bribery, but was getting into all his associates. And now there are indictments, it looks like, around the corner for Congressman John Doolittle of California and others. It's not just her, right? It's John McKay of Washington State, who decided there was no reason to challenge the governor's election. who happened to be a Democrat. Now, these are all Republicans, you understand. All these U.S. prosecutors are Republicans, which may be why the Republican Congress is so leery of supporting the president on this one. And then, of course, there's David Iglesias of New Mexico, who was called illegally by both Senator Pete Domenici, Republican of New Mexico, and Congresswoman Heather Wilson, Republican of New Mexico, against the ethics laws. They tried to influence the case. They tried to get him to prosecute a New Mexico Democrat. Now, they themselves are going to face ethical problems for this. And it's not just that. It just came out today that another corrupt Republican, and one thing that should be noted, these are not backbenchers. This is not like Traficant, who was a crazy, I guess, ex-Democrat that out of Ohio that was expelled from Congress a couple years ago. This is not a backbencher. These are the leaders of the Republican Party. This is the Republican Party that Tom DeLay built. Well, one of those leaders was Rick Renzi of Arizona. And now we find out, after the election, that guess what? Rick Renzi's staff was busy calling the U.S. prosecutor and trying to convince the U.S. prosecutor not to charge him with corruption. So you see, the election of 06, which was based on lots of things, it was based on Iraq, it was based on runaway spending and pork barrel, but it was also very much based on the corruption that is endemic to the Republican Party. Not just one or two, but every single person in charge, it seems, has their hand in the till. That election, the Republicans knew they were going to lose, so instead of trying to stop the corruption, they tried to stop the investigations into the corruption. And the amazing thing about Attorney General Gonzalez is, when asked, how did these people's names get on the list, he has no earthly idea. I want to give you a feel for the hearings. Again, I recommend that you really take the time. You can play it while you're, doing something else, doing your laundry or paying your bills. I really recommend you watch the whole 5 hours. But let me play for you a really revealing exchange. And I want to play for you the entire exchange because I think it shows – well, I think it just gives you a good idea because this, I thought this was a standard exchange, if you will. You have Senator Feinstein of California, a Democrat, but by no means a very liberal Democrat. I mean – Senator Boxer is a liberal Democrat. Feinstein is definitely a moderate Democrat. Frankly, she's to the right of some on the left who complain about her. But she's trying to get at the truth. She's trying to figure out what's going on here. And she asks a range of questions that, to me, typify the entire hearing. So this is 10 minutes long. I want to play for you. We're going to probably take a break in the middle of it. But I want to play it for you and get a feel for what it is these discussions are about. This is Senator Feinstein and Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez.
Thank you, Senator Specter, and Senator Feinstein.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I want to take you back once again, Mr. Attorney General. I may be very slow, but I don't understand how this list was compiled. The list was essentially 10% of the entire Attorney General staff. Kyle Sampson, your former chief of staff, I'm going to talk about the senior so-called leadership of the department, and the person you said you delegated this task to testified that he didn't put people on the list. He said, quote, "It wasn't like that. It wasn't that I wanted names on the list. I was the aggregator." That's page 184 of his transcript. Mike Battle, director of the Executive Office of the United States Attorney, said, "I had no input. Nobody asked me for my input." That's the interview, page 82. Bill Mercer, acting associate attorney general and number three at DOJ, said, "I didn't understand there was a list. I didn't keep a list. It was just that any time I had a particular concern, I made that known to different people." And you testified this morning that you didn't know the reasons U.S. attorneys were put on the list until after you decided to fire them. I'm very interested, and I'd like to send down to you the plan, 3 pages, that was distributed at the meeting on November 27th, and ask you to take a look at it.
Thank you, Senator. Let me respond to a couple of things that you said. First of all, I haven't read the transcript from Mr. Battle.
Well, it's pretty accurate, and I gave you the pages so your staff can check it out.
Thank you. I don't know that I testified that I didn't know the reasons when I made the decision. I recall knowing reasons as to five, but not as I don't recall remembering the reasons as to two.
Okay, let's go on. If you could look at this, and I think this is one of the, this is a small thing, but apparently this three-page plan was distributed at that meeting. Do you recall seeing it?
Senator, I don't recall the meeting, and I don't recall seeing this document, but I have no reason to doubt that,
okay,
that this was a document.
Well,
that...
let me give you one point of, and this is just a minor point of irritation. Senator calls, and the Republican senators get calls. The Democratic senators, where U.S. attorneys are being fired, the political lead gets the call, whatever that is. I think, you know, it's senators that confirm. It's senators that should have the knowledge, not necessarily the political lead. And if you would go to step three on page two, it's entitled Prepare to Withstand Political Upheaval. And it goes on to say U.S. attorneys desiring to save their jobs likely will make efforts to preserve themselves in office. And then this is what people should say. And on the question of who decided, the talking point is the administration made the determination to seek the resignations, not any specific person at the White House or the Department of Justice. And to this time, we do not know who actually selected the people to be put on the list.
Senator,
I would like to know who selected the individuals that were on that list.
Senator,
somebody had to. A human being had to.
Senator, I'm not going to characterize Mr. Sampson's testimony. Let me tell you what I understood and what I expected was that Mr. Sampson would speak with the senior leadership in the department, people that knew about the performance of the United States attorneys, and that he would come to me with a recommendation, a consensus recommendation, including his views. That is what I understood. That's what I understood was coming to me. Because Mr. Sampson,
well, Mr. Sampson testified he didn't. He was just the aggregator.
No, and I'm not saying that. If that's what he testified, I'm sure that's his perception of his role. What I'm testifying today is what I viewed Mr. Sampson's role was to get information, but to present to me a recommendation that also included his own. And the reason that was important, not as important as others like the Deputy Attorney General, but Mr. Sampson had been involved at presidential personnel in filling senior leadership positions at the Department of Justice, the top legal positions at other agencies, and so he had experience
right,
in making personnel
decisions.
I
want to ask other questions, but perhaps you can understand that this has become a serious matter, and seven out of the eight were involved in public prosecutions, public corruption prosecutions. And yet nobody knows who selected them for this unusual thing to this very moment. Now, I'd like to go on with something else. From documents and interviews, we know the following. The White House was involved in the removal of Bud Cummings. Karl Rove called you and asked about three districts, Milwaukee, Philadelphia, and Albuquerque.
Sir, I don't recall whether he called or whether it was a visit. It may have been a call.
Okay. You got a call from the president about New Mexico in the fall of 06.
Senator, I think that was a conversation. I don't think it was a phone call.
Okay, conversation. Thank you. And Harriet Myers discussed whether to remove Deborah Yang from Los Angeles. Now, she resigned, so she was not part of this. But given all these inquiries that we know about, how could you say just 3 weeks ago that the White House did not play a role in adding or taking off names?
Well, Senator, the fact that there may have been a conversation with the president indicating a concern about election fraud in a particular issue, in my mind, I never would have equated that with the process, this review process that was ongoing. with respect to that Mr. Sampson was coordinating.
Okay, but then now let's continue. This is why this is so strange. When Mr. McNulty came and briefed us in the judiciary room on the second floor, he mentioned the reasons were performance. And then we began to ask to see the EARS reports that Senator Kennedy referred to this morning. And I believe we've all taken a look at them, and we see stellar professional performance reports. We pick up USA Today, and we see a ranking that they did place 7 of them in the top 10 U.S. attorneys in the United States. And I have a very hard time with your telling me to this day you don't know who suggested that each of these 7 people on that December 7th list, nobody knows how they got there.
Well, Senator, first of all, I don't know the USA ranking. I don't know where that comes from and what it's based on. But Senator, the committee, I'm presuming, has interviewed the people involved in this process and can ask that question. I would like to know. I would like to ask that question. But as a respect to this investigation, I have not done so. The only thing that I can do today is to give you the information that I know. The truth as I recall it, and that's what I'm trying to do here today, is to tell you that I received the recommendation. What I presumed was that, most importantly, what I cared about, did this reflect the recommendation of the Deputy Attorney General? That would be the most important thing.
But if I were you, I would want to know who selected this individual and what was their thinking. Why did they put that individual on this list? Everybody knew from the plan that it was going to be heavy going, that there were going to be problems. It would just seem to me that you would want to know these things.
There are no questions.
When you talk about sort of an amorphous senior leadership, people think of gray-haired, very wise men making these decisions. In fact, they're very young and sometimes very ideological people.
Then
you want to know who's making the decision? Because when Mike Battle testified to the staff of what the response was when he called these U.S. attorneys, it was a shot out of the blue. It was a shot to the gut. They had thought they did very well. They had not been told there were problems. And they were called and they were told, you must leave.
Senator, I've already testified that clearly, as I look back on it now, the process would have been much more rigorous, and there would have been some discussion face to face with either myself or the Deputy Attorney General. You mentioned something that reminds me of the discussion back and forth between you and involving you and Senator Schumer about Carol Lamb. I want to make sure that I'm clear about this, and that is, I believe based upon my review of the documents, that Ms. Lamb knew that there were concerns, or certainly there was an interest in her performance with respect to immigration prosecutions. I don't know whether or not Ms. Lamb knew that the Department of Justice had those specific concerns, or that if things didn't change, that she might lose her job. I wanted to make sure that you understand this.
I understand this, but let me tell you, we all get concerns all the time. But if I were employed by Justice, I would be curious as to what my bosses think, not the flack that I may or may not be getting from other places, because the flack, to some extent, comes with the territory.
Senator, I expected that my concerns about her immigration numbers, prosecution numbers, and her gun prosecution numbers would be communicated to Ms. Lamb. That's what I understood.
But 2 months before she was fired, in a letter to me, Will Michella said everything was fine with her immigration numbers.
Senator, I believe...
She has told us she was never contacted by the department about immigration.
Senator,
my time is up.
Thank you.
Do you want to respond to that question?
That's fine, sir.
Certainly allow you to if you want to.
Thank you, sir.
Senator Hatch.
Well, thank you, Mr.
He didn't want to respond to that question. No, of course not. There's so many elements in that discussion, and I hope you listen carefully because I want to take them one by one. And if you have questions about it or comments, please. please feel free to call in. The toll-free number is 877-4-HEAD-ON. First of all, there's the general lack of recalling. He can quibble over details over whether the president called him or whether the president saw him personally in a meeting, but he can't remember what was said. But it's more than that. The heart of the question into the politicization of U.S. prosecutors is, were they fired for political reasons? That's the question, because the president can hire and fire them as he wants, but what he can't do is hire them or fire them to influence an investigation. And every one of these guys or women, with the possible exception of one, was involved in some kind of political corruption case. So Senator Feinstein, she bores in. She says, someone had to make the decision. A human being had to make this list. Who was it? And he says, I don't know. And she says, well, if you don't know, how can you be so sure it was done right? He doesn't have an answer. She points out that he did talk to the president, that he did talk to Karl Rove, and how is it that this isn't a politicization of the process? He said, well, I didn't really consider those things. And then if you look at the emails, that's where you see the heart of it. That's where you see Kyle Sampson saying, we want loyal Bushies in here, right? It's all in the emails. The heart of the problem here is that you have people who are putting loyalty to the president, loyalty to the Republican Party, ahead of loyalty to their country. Now, Justice Department is a strange department. The Justice Department is in charge of prosecuting all federal laws. The Attorney General of the United States is the nation's top law enforcement officer. He's the police chief of police chiefs, if you will, the prosecutor of prosecutors. He's in charge. And his dedication, his role, is to defend the Constitution of the United States, even if he's appointed by the president. That's why it was a huge outcry back in the early 1970s during what was called the Saturday Night Massacre, when the Attorney General said, we're going to look into Watergate, and the president said no. He said, if you look into Watergate, I'll fire you. And the Attorney General said, hey, you know, Elliot Richardson was the guy, Republican, said, Mr. President, I respect you very much. I know you hired me. I know you have the right to fire me. But my first role is to the law in the United States. So Nixon fired him. The Deputy Attorney General became Acting Attorney General on a Saturday night. Nixon said, so I just fired your boss. Now you're going to stop looking into Watergate. And he said, no, sir. My obligation is to the law, not to you. And Richard Nixon fired him. Then came third in charge, Solicitor General Robert Bork. Name ring a bell? Same person that Ronald Reagan tried to put on the Supreme Court. And he said to Robert Bork, okay, I fired number one, I fired number two, you're number three. I insist that you not look into Watergate. And Robert Bork said, yes, sir, Mr. President, I follow you. The law and the Constitution of the United States be damned. My country means nothing to me. I follow you, Heil Nixon. Okay, that last two words may have been an addition on my part. But the point is this. When the Department of Justice is doing their job outside of politics, you can understand why the president should be in control. They're the ones who, you know, should dictate what things they prosecute and so forth. But when they're prosecuting the President of the United States, or when they're looking into Republican corruption, the president has to distance himself. That's why we had all those special prosecutor laws. That's why Ken Starr was hired and actually became a renegade, and other normal special prosecutors, Lawrence Walsh and so forth, because it's very hard for the president to prosecute himself. That's why we had Patrick Fitzgerald hired in the Traitorgate affair. So it's vitally important that this not be politicized. Attorney General Gonzalez has made statements understanding this basic fact. He said, quote, I would never, ever make a change in United States attorney for political reasons, or if it would in any way jeopardize an ongoing serious investigation, I just would not do it. Wouldn't do it. If he wouldn't do it, then how can he say it wasn't done when he has no idea what was done in the first place? I mean, again, I think John Stewart's compilation says it best, right? I don't know. It was all done appropriately. As we go to break, I want to play that just one more time.
Whose idea was this?
Senator, I don't recall specifically. I don't recall the content. Senator, I have no recollection.
I don't have any recollection.
I have searched my memory.
I don't recall remembering.
I can only testify as to what I recall.
Senator, I don't recall.
I firmly believe that nothing improper occurred.
I firmly believe that nothing improper occurred. Well, I'll tell you this. Here's what we know from the emails. We know that Karl Rove was intentionally watching the proceedings to make sure it was done right. And there's nothing Karl Rove does that isn't for political reasons. Toll-free number 877-4 head-on. Want to hear from you if you've got any questions about this or comments. 877-4-H-E-A-D-O-N. Right here on the Head-On Radio Network. We'll be right back after this.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
Obviously need to address the issue of the Saddam Hussein execution. Have seen the video that was taken on a cell phone, or have read about the circumstances surrounding the execution. It's pretty evident that the absolutely worst thing that could have happened with the carrying out of the sentence after the long trial of Saddam Hussein happened. If we had sat down and made a list and said, all right, here's a list of six or seven different things that could happen, what would be the very, very worst thing that could happen, not only for us, for the United States, but for the world and for the Iraqis themselves? And it seems to me that if not first, then definitely second would have been what indeed did happen.
The Dr. Bill O'Brien Show, Tuesday to Thursday, noon to 2 Eastern, here on the Head-On Radio Network.
Here's a little test for you. Identify the following water-saving devices around your home. Using water wisely is important, since our growing population puts pressure on this limited resource. Ready? That's water-saving device number 19, your outdoor faucet. Check faucets, sprinklers, and hoses for drips or leaks to save water and money. That's your toothbrush, water-saving device number 54. Turn the faucet off while you brush and save up to 25 gallons a month. It's water-saving device number 11, your water bill. If it's unusually high, you could have a leak. Learn to detect and repair leaks by contacting your water provider. Last clue? That's BeWaterSmart.net, a helpful website full of water-saving tips from the Water Conservation Coalition and your local water provider. There are a number of ways to save water, and they all start with you. Water. Use it wisely.
from Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. There's so much to talk about this. I still want to recommend for you that you go to C-SPAN and watch some of these hearings for yourself. You may not have understood in the exchange, the long exchange between Senator Feinstein of California and Attorney General Gonzalez, what she meant about the immigration numbers and the San Diego prosecutor, Carol Lam. I want to explain that. Carol Lam, of course, is the prosecutor who indicted and convicted, actually she got a plea bargain, but would have convicted a sitting congressman, Randy Duke Cunningham. This is the guy that actually had a list on his bribery list. Pay me this much and I'll do this for you. Pay me that much, I'll do this for you. Nice bargaining here. But she put him away. And so Gonzalez said that it had to do with her immigration numbers, that it had to do with the fact that she wasn't prosecuting immigration enough. And of course, Carol Lam was never told this by the Justice Department or by anybody else in the government, anyone that was her boss. Now, were there Republicans complaining? Yes, there were. And so Gonzalez, by using trick language and the passive voice, says, well, he's sure that Carol Lam knew that people were complaining about immigration. But, of course, as Feinstein pointed out, people complain about everything. She had the right to know that it was from her boss. And so, basically, the only thing that Gonzalez admitted to doing wrong was to not explaining these things better. Not explaining these things better to the prosecutors that were fired. But here's the thing. Not only were these all fired having to do with corruption cases, but they snuck in that provision in the Patriot Act, which Gonzalez says he didn't support and he has no idea how it got there. Although he has to admit that someone in his department snuck it in in fact, the senator himself, who I think it was Specter, took the language, didn't know what it meant, and the whole Senate passed it because that's how they do things, unfortunately, at least under the Republican Congress. They have to pass bills without reading it. So they snuck that language in, and what the language would do is basically say the president can appoint any U.S. prosecutor he wants without Senate confirmation. So that already looks suspicious. Then there's the testimony that Senator Whitehouse of Rhode Island brought out. And for all of you who wondered whether there was a difference between the liberal defeated Senator Leakin Chafee, Republican of Rhode Island, and voting for a Democrat, it's not just that it gave the entire Senate to the Democrats, thank you very much, but it brought in a really good questioner. By the way, side point, it also shows to you the power of party. And why, even though Leakin Chafee was a moderate Republican, a Democrat is much better. After all, it makes a difference. It's the reason we are having this. I mean, all of this would have gone on behind closed doors if we didn't have 51 Democratic senators, because Republicans believe in covering up the government's mistakes. They believe in protecting liars, protecting criminality, protecting the president at all costs. Because, simply put, they are not loyal to the United States of America. They are, yes, traitors. They care more about their party than they do about their country. And they complain about Democrats wanting to save people in the military's lives to coming home from Iraq. But I digress. Let's go back to Senator Whitehouse. He raised a very good point that in the Clinton administration, in order to protect from too much political influence, in order to protect the independence of U.S. prosecutors across the nation, Clinton limited it to three or four members of his administration, the president, the vice president, the attorney general, the deputy attorney general, could only speak to three or four members of the Justice Department and label them. I think actually maybe the Attorney General was down the lower caste. In any case, it was three or four could speak to three or four, and that was it. And all those communications were recorded, and that way people could know if there's any improper influences at the very top. Whitehouse pointed out that the number of officials in the administration who were allowed to dictate political policy to U.S. prosecutors was expanded from three to 417, and the number who could receive it from 3 to 33. So 9 communications became, do the math, 1,500 legal communications. It's all about plausible deniability, folks. It's all about not knowing who spoke to whom about what. And that way people at the top, like Deputy Attorney General McNulty, can say that the hiring in Arkansas was due entirely to performance reasons, even though we now know the truth that Karl Rove dictated the entire thing. Or as Bush put it, quote, "I've heard these allegations about political decision-making. It's just not true. What Al did, what the Justice Department did, was appropriate. U.S. attorneys serve at the pleasure of the president. They can be removed by the president. What was mishandled was the explanation." You know, what was mishandled is your explanation right now. When will the president stop lying to us? What's interesting is that even Republicans are jumping ship. Virtually every Republican has jumped ship. It's not just Jay Leno, who said on his show that when Attorney General Gonzalez swore to tell the truth, quote, "everybody had a good laugh and went back to business," unquote. It's Arlen Specter, the senior Republican on the Senate Judiciary Committee, the guy who before the hearing said, "I'm not going to say whether he should resign or not," said, quote, "his testimony was very, very damaging to his own credibility." Sound like a perjury conviction, anybody? He blamed Gonzalez for a very substantial decrease in morale for the Justice Department. That's serious stuff. Specter said the other 93 U.S. Attorney Generals, U.S. attorneys don't know who's up next. There's a suspicion of improper motivation. It's been damaging to the administration. That's pretty strong words from the senior Republican Judiciary Committee. John Cornyn, Texas senator, a guy who always says yes, sir, to Bush, said it was really deplorable. Oklahoma Republican. Oklahoma, and it's hard to find a more rock-red Republican state than Oklahoma. Tom Coburn told him to resign. And the list goes on and on and on and on. And what it shows is that it's not just that the president doesn't care about Democrats. And it's not just that the president doesn't care about the American people. And it's not just that the president doesn't care about the law, the Constitution, or independence. He doesn't even give a damn about the people in his own party. He doesn't care what the Republicans say. It's all about loyalty. Heil Bush. It's all about Fredo, his friend, who wags his tail and does whatever Bush tells him to. Sit, Fredo, sit. Yes, sir. He's not the only one. Harriet Myers comes to mind, as does Mike Brown. This is the administration of toadies who do whatever the administration says. Well, I'm proud of the Democrats. They are fighting back, and they're fighting back strongly with the weapon of choice. No, I'm not talking about the Glock 17. Of course not. I'm talking about the subpoena. And what a powerful weapon it is. Already, the House Judiciary Committee, which I used to have the pleasure of serving, voted 32-6. That's all Democrats and about half the Republicans, maybe more than half, to grant limited immunity from prosecution to Monica Gooding. Remember her? She was the deputy to the deputy to Gonzalez. Gonzalez hired Kyle Sampson to do the job. Sampson, who says, "I don't know where all this stuff came from," hired Gooding. They asked Gooding, and she said, "I can't tell you. If I do, I'll go to jail for breaking the law." So they're doing what they did to Ollie North, and others are saying, "All right, we promise not to let you go to jail. Now tell us the truth." It's going to be interesting, folks. Going to be very interesting. And the Democrats are also issuing a subpoena to Condoleezza Rice. Now, she doesn't want to come. She doesn't want to talk and explain how those words about the lie about Saddam Hussein getting nuclear weapons out of Niger got in the President's State of the Union speech, despite the fact that everyone said it was a lie. She doesn't want to explain. But it's Henry Waxman of California, my former congressman in Los Angeles, and I worship the ground he walks on, said, quote, "A subpoena is not a request. It's a demand for information." Of course, the White House is willing to let her be interviewed as long as there's no transcript, no press, no oath. The Democrats said, no dice. And if Rice says no, You know what's next? It's called contempt. And Condoleezza Rice may just need to spend a little time in a congressional jail cell in order to force her to serve her country instead of her president. And wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? Not about Condoleezza Rice, but about, for once, allowing the rule of law to prevail in the United States and open government for the greatest democracy in the world. That's it for the Inside Scoop. Tune in tomorrow, same time, same place. This is Mark Levine signing off.
This is the Quality News Network. The Senate has approved the $124 billion Iraq War funding bill that contains a troop withdrawal start date of October 1st. The Senate vote was 51 in favor to 46 opposed. A day ago, the House approved the spending bill with the timeline for U.S. troops to leave Iraq. The House vote was 218 to 208. President Bush has repeatedly insisted he will veto any spending bill that contains a timetable for a U.S. troop pullout. The top U.S. commander in Iraq, General David Petraeus, held a press conference at the Pentagon today. He described the situation in Iraq as, quote, exceedingly complex and very tough. He added that the war may become worse before it gets better. He said the endeavor will require, quote, an enormous commitment over time. A spokesman for the Iraqi government criticized the congressional vote for sending the wrong signals. A senior U.S. officer in Iraq has been charged with aiding the enemy, according to the U.S. military. He is accused of providing an unmonitored cell phone to Iraqi detainees. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice is signaling that she will not agree to the congressional subpoena to testify about discredited pre-war intelligence on Iraq. Eight of the Democratic presidential hopefuls will debate tonight in South Carolina. It's the earliest presidential debate ever held. Next week, the Republican presidential candidates will meet in California for their first debate. In a standoff with NATO and the U.S. over plans to place a missile defense system in Eastern Europe, Russian President Vladimir Putin suspended his country's obligations under the Conventional Forces in Europe treaty. In Ankara, Turkey, there is progress reported in meetings between European officials and Iranian representatives over Iran's failure to halt its uranium enrichment program as required by the United Nations. In Istanbul,